Tire
Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the book of Zechariah. Though written more than 500 years before Jesus, this powerful little book has much to say about today's headlines, as well as deep insight into the Lord's work and ministry in the lives of believers right now. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Half of them toward the western sea, that's the Mediterranean. In both summer and winter it shall occur, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And in that day it shall be, the Lord is one, and His name one. You guys want to check in on that river? Hold your finger here. Meet me in Revelation 22. In the New Jerusalem, that river is still intact, and it has a very important purpose. The thousand-year millennial reign of our Lord has taken place at this point in Revelation chapter 22. And we're going to zoom in like Google Earth Chrome. We're going to zoom in. Let's look at this river. Verse 1. And he, this angel, showed me, John, what kind of river, everybody? Oh, a pure river of water, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the where, everybody? From the throne of God. It's coming from inside the temple. And of the Lamb, in the middle of its street or its pathway, on either side of the river was what? The tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And a servant shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Verse 10. Back to Zechariah chapter 14. And all the land shall be turned into a plain from Geba, that's northern border of Israel, you can check that out, Joshua 21 verse 17, to Rimmon, the south of Jerusalem, and that's the southern border of Jerusalem. You can check that out, Joshua 15, verse 32. Jerusalem will be raised up, and I wrote in my Bible, literally. Remember that big earthquake? Where did all the mountains go in that earthquake? They're gone. All the islands are gone, because really, what is an island? It's a mountain that's in the ocean. God is going to completely redistribute all of the topography of planet Earth, including Jerusalem. And why is the Dead Sea dead? Because water flows in from the Jordan, comes from the headwaters of Mount Hermon and other places, cruises through the Sea of Galilee, runs in and then runs out, and then it runs down the great Jordan Rift Valley and drains into the Dead Sea. Why? Because the Dead Sea is the lowest place on the surface of the Earth that's not underwater. It's 1,300 feet below sea level. You're going to see here in a minute that this whole plain is going to be lifted up. And there will be, by inference, the inflow of the Jordan River as always, but also the inflow of this river, whose artesian springs are gushing from under Mount Moriah through this new valley, all the way down to the Dead Sea, because the Dead Sea is raised up, and now it no longer has flow just in only, but now what happens on the south side? It flows out. And why is the Dead Sea dead? Because water flows in, but it never flows out. It just stagnates. Beloved of the Lord this morning, if you find that there's a bit of stagnation, do you know that the Dead Sea is almost 7 times saltier than the ocean? It is so salty, you can literally sit up in a seated position and you're still floating. I did that. I'll never forget it. We're floating and they're all, hey, what's up, what's up? We're floating in the Dead Sea. And then out from the changing room, there's lots of people because it's a resort and destination center. And a lot of people came out and we saw there was a bunch of, I assume that they were teenagers and they were gals and they had their swimming suits on and they came giggling, probably 30 of them, and they all ran into the Dead Sea and all of a sudden their eyes got big as saucers and they screamed, "Yo!" And they all jumped back out, hopping up and down. And you know what it was? What do other girls do before they go to the beach? They shave their legs. Yeah, don't do that. Yeah. That has nothing to do with our study here this morning. It's not often you see 30 screaming teenage girls running out of the water. The Dead Sea is 7 times more salty. Why is it so bad? Because water flows in, but nothing flows out. Put your Jesus glasses on. If you have ever felt a certain stagnation, if you've ever felt like, you know, here's a big one. I just don't get fed anymore at my church. And you know why? Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, there's Paul, probably Paul, saying to the church there, you want me to go over again the basics, Christianity 101? You should be teaching now, but yet you need me to go over the basics one more time. You should be eating solid food, meat, but yet you still need milk. And here's why. Because lack of use. What is Hebrews saying? If we come to a sermon to give it an intellectual grade, if we come to a church service because that's kind of what we do, if we come to a church service for any other reason or purpose other than to gather to ourselves tools for ministry, church is going to be a bore for you. Chun Corson said it so well. He said, I found a good way, a surefire way, to never fall asleep during a sermon. Everybody tunes in, really? Well, what was that? Teach it. I'm going to say it one more time. I found a surefire way never to fall asleep in a sermon again, and that is teach it. Amen? There's something in this issue. When you don't have anything going out on the other side of your vessel, do you know what will happen? Like the Dead Sea, you'll go stagnant. Verse 10. One more time. The land shall be turned into the plain of Geba. Then it gives the measurements there. Jerusalem shall be raised up literally and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate and the corner gate. If I had time, I would show you all these, but these are giving basically the north, south, east, and west of Jerusalem. And from the tower of Haniel to the king's wine presses. Verse 11, and the people shall dwell in it, and no longer shall there be utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Hold your finger here. I want to show you the prophet Zephaniah, just a couple books to the left. Zephaniah in chapter 3, verses 8 through 9, is speaking of the very same time when Jesus comes back to planet Earth, destroys all of his enemies, and then sets up the millennial reign of Christ. But I want to show you something you might get a kick out of. Look at verse 8. Therefore, wait for me. Is your me capitalized? So who are we speaking of here? This is the Messiah. Therefore, wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I raise up for plunder. We've just been reading about that. My determination is to gather the nations. Now, right in your margin here, Zechariah 14:2, to my assembly of kingdoms to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger, all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Now look at this, verse 9. For then I will restore the peoples a what? A pure language, and they will call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord. You know what that pure language is, by the way? I don't know for sure, but I'll bet you $10 trillion it's Hebrew. So Zephaniah 3, verse 8 through 9, the whole world is speaking, potentially Hebrew. And you guys, let's stop one more place. Would you join me in Ezekiel chapter 47? I got to tell you more about this river. Can I tell you more about this river? Jesus, his foot touches the Mount of Olives and all that that means. The glory of the Lord has returned. It cleaves in two to the north and south, leaving a valley that goes east and west. Water is pouring out from the temple all the way to the Dead Sea and beyond. Here is Ezekiel, who wrote a couple hundred years in front of Zechariah. And here is Ezekiel telling us about that same river. Chapter 47, verse 1. Then he, an angelic being who's been giving Ezekiel a tour of the millennial temple, it started all the way back in Ezekiel chapter 40. The tour continues. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was what? Water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple south of the altar. And he brought me out by the way of the north gate. So I came around from the north gate, and I'm looking at the east gate, and led me around to the outside, to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water gushing out on the right side, verse 3. And when the man went out to the east with a line, this being has been measuring this new temple, and now he's going to measure something else. Check this out. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, his measuring stick, he measured 1,000 cubits, about a quarter of a mile, from the gate, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankle, so circle that. Verse 4, and again he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. Now they're moving downstream another quarter of a mile, and the water now is up to my what? Circle that, if you would. And again he measured 1,000 cubits, about another quarter of a mile down the road, down the stream, and brought me through the water. But this time it came up to my, circle that, waist. Verse 5, and again he measured 1,000 cubits, and the river was where I could not cross. For the water was too deep, and the water in which one must, circle that. The water is getting deeper and deeper as he heads east. Verse 6. Now watch this river. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? I wrote in my Bible, Steve, have you seen this? Have you seen it, Steve, in your life? Seen what? The river of God. Now remember, Revelation 22, we saw a little bit more about that. What's growing on both sides? And then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the valley. And that word in Hebrew is Arabah. That's the Jordan Rift Valley that has been uplifted, is no longer 1,300 feet below sea level. It now is raised up because the other side of it, the south side, now has an outflow, like all healthy bodies of water should. The region goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are what? The sea that this one is talking about is the Dead Sea. Circle Sea, right? Dead Sea. And when the waters get there, what happens to the Dead Sea? Oh, it's healed. Verse 9. It should be every living thing that moves. Wherever the river goes will what? Will live. There will be a great multitude of fish because the waters go there. There's no fishing in the Dead Sea now. I don't believe there's even any more brine shrimp. I think I've read recently that there really is, other than some hardy old bacteria, there's not much life in there at all. It truly is. It's dead. But when the rivers of God from the temple get there, life happens, for they will be healed. And everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Gellium, which is the Gulf of Aqaba. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds of fish as in the Mediterranean Sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. they will be given over to salt. Verse 12, and along the bank of the river on this side and on that, on both sides, will grow how many kinds of trees, you guys? All kinds of trees used for food. Then their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail, and they will bear fruit every month because of the water, because of the river. Because their water flows from the sanctuary, their fruit will be for food. And look what we saw also in Revelation 22. And what about the leaves? The leaves will be for medicine. Now, this is a river that's going to show up on planet Earth's topography in the millennial reign. But I want you to put your Jesus glasses on. In your Jesus glasses, as you look, where does the water come from? Where does it originate? From the altar, if you will. When the river flows out. Look at verse 3. So cross, and the water came up to my ankles. That's the Christian walk. When you first start walking with the Lord, you stand on God's promises. How many of you remember when you were a brand new Christian? How cool was Jesus? I'm walking with Jesus. But the point is, you walk and your ankles are just in the water, in the Spirit. But don't stop there. Look at verse 4. You got to go deeper, and then it'll go to your knees. What else do you do on your knees? You pray. And yes, indeed, pray for that hangnail and pray for Aunt Bessie. Those are important prayers. But some points, your prayers begin to move off of yourself and the things that touch you directly. And your prayers begin to take another vision on, and you begin to feel the burden for other families. You begin to feel the burden of your city. You begin to feel the burden of churches that you don't even attend. You start praying for their pastors and their leaders. You begin to take on a burden of all that burdens the heart of the Lord when you pray and you intercede. Is there more? Look. At the end of verse 4, and again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, came up to my what? My waist, if you will, my loins. Walking in the Lord is fun and wonderful, but there's more. You got to get to the knees. You got to get the Spirit up to your processes to want to pray. And when you do, then the water goes deeper to your reproductive organs, if you will. Healthy Christians beget other healthy Christians. Has it been a while since you prayed with someone who has accepted the Lord? Has it been a while? Maybe you've been splashing around kind of in the ankle portion where the kiddie pool is. I just come to church to make me feel better. I go to my home fellowship because that's what we like to do. We like to get our holy huddle around, you know. And I love just hanging out. I get a little nervous when somebody new comes in. Why did you have to come in? It's our little group. Took me 6 years to break into this group, and now you're here. We've talked about this before. You come into church, you know, and somebody's sitting in your seat. Dude, you're in my seat. Now you're a Christian. You're supposed to be polite, so you don't say that out loud. So you give them the old nonverbal communication. He says, good morning. You say, Excuse me. Sit in my seat. I bet I could worship better if I was sitting in my seat. You know, we're all human. We all do it. You're splashing around in the shallow end of this river of life. God says you got to get up so much that pretty soon your reproductive natural, without an effort, it really isn't hard. You just look around your life and there's people that are drawn to you. Maybe it's the water cooler. Maybe it's the employee dining room. Maybe it's the gym where you work out. People notice that there's something different about you. Maybe you've been visiting the hospital a little too much these days. And it's a bummer that you're there, but someone else is in the hospital just as frightened as you are. They look at you and they say, how are you handling this? And because you've been in the water up to your waist, you can't help it. You start talking about the good things that God has done. Do we stop there? No. Let's keep going. Verse 5. And again he measured 1,000. And it was a river that I could not cross because the water was too deep. And I had to what? Ankles, no problem. I have complete control. Splash. Then I get to my knees. I can still stand against the current. If I go deeper, I'm up to my hips. I got to dig in a little more, but I still can stand. The Spirit of the Lord is moving in my life, and I can sense Him moving in a direction, but I got to stand against the current. And the Spirit says, go a little deeper. But Lord, I'll lose control. Now, not literally. The Spirit's never going to make you do stupid things. What I'm saying is, you can still paddle, but you've got one foot in the sand, one little toe, I'm still holding on. God says, lift it up and float down the current. Oh, look at it, everybody. There you are. You're floating. Who's got me? Who's leading me? Oh, what's on either side? Trees, fruit, healing, and everywhere the river takes me is life. I'm done preaching. Let's all stand together. Amen. Get out of the shallow end. Come on. Come on. Jump in and see where the Spirit of God and His river takes you. Amen? Lord Jesus, here we are. We're just humans doing the best we can with the tools that we have. Lord, and I know in this room there's some joyous things happening. Bless your name. And there's some real challenges happening. Bless your name. What are we supposed to do in the midst of doing well or really struggling? Here's what we're supposed to do. Jump in. Jump in the river. It's coming from the altar. Would you jump in? Would you just let the Spirit take you where He's taking you? Where is He taking you? I've got dead places in my life, Lord. That's okay. He's going to heal the dead places. I've got wounds. Oh, it's okay. I've got leaves that will heal you. I've got terrible destructions and many missteps and much tailings of destruction in my life, Lord. God says, that's okay, because wherever death has touched you, my Spirit, my river will bring life and fruit. Everybody's head down, everybody's eyes closed. It all begins, of course, you've got to give your life to the Lord Jesus. The gospel is this. God became flesh, zipped up a human suit to save you from all of that destruction. Would you give your life to Jesus Christ today and no more messing around? I don't need to convince you intellectually. You have felt the presence of the Spirit of God here today and other parts in your life. No more messing around. It is time. Will you stop resisting His flowing river? And would you give Him your life? And it goes as simple as this. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. Take me into the current of your river. And your strengthening. I give you all my life. I give you all my failings, my fears. I give you my life, Jesus. Please fill me with your Spirit today. And for the rest of us, I've been floating around on that stinky old Dead Sea. I can't go deep because there's so much salt. And I've got a saltiness all around me. Oh, forgive me, Lord. Let the newness of your river flow through my heart today and get me out of the ankle deep and get me into serving God's people.
You've been listening to the Book of Zechariah with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.